Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Keith Jones. He's executive partner and author at Alchemy Worldwide Limited. Keith, welcome to our podcast.
Christopher, it is a real pleasure to be with you.
So in case your wife is listening, Tessa, thank you for referring your husband to this great experience.
Well, I think Tessa, that one, good. She probably is listening, I'm sure, of it somewhere.
That's great. That's great. So Keith, I'm actually very excited, but before we dive into that, I always love why people do things, say things, or share things. In your case, in your LinkedIn profile, you have a LinkedIn photo with balloons. What does that signify?
I have absolutely no idea, Christopher. I think it's a very fair point, and I think that that's probably as much to do with RPA, who put the thing together. But I'm sure she chose the background. But if I were to associate with balloons, then I would associate with the variety and the colour of balloons. There is an endearing quality about balloon and balloon flight, actually.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, there's actually a balloon festival in New Mexico every year. It's actually called, the Santa Fe Balloon Festival. It's world renowned. Yeah. When I saw your profile picture, it just reminded me of that. And it is very colorful and the very word alchemy. So we'll dive into the topic you want to talk about, which is the myth of leadership development. But again, I'm a very curious man. So why did you choose to name your company the Alchemy Worldwide?
Well, that is as much to do with my studies, both in psychology and in philosophy. And I've been in applied psychology now for all of my professional life, which is 43 years. And part of that, and particularly in philosophy, is the study of what's called the post-Enlightenment period, which is a part of European history where there was a large movement that sought to understand the nature of humankind as a constellation of a variety of elements that made up what was termed as the alchemist. And in my work in psychology and in executive education, I mean, people remain an endearing fascination for me, and they never cease to amaze me. And so alchemy had to be the name of the organization, because it represents the magic and the beauty of humanity.
That's a great way. I mean, literally, if there was a publicist for humanity, we're like, we're going to hire Keith.
Good man.
And you play guitar too. So those of you, Keith and I were talking about being musicians. And so whenever you are a musician, it's just always a magical experience to have that bond. So I appreciate you sharing that spirit of yours. So let's dive into the topic we're going to talk about today, which is the myth of leadership development. So first of all, I love that. So first, how do you define leadership development? And then let's talk about this myth of leadership development.
Well, leadership development, you know, when you look at it and its emergence in the field of management and executive education from the 1950s, at the work of Drucker, you know, there became the crucible of management effectiveness, which was around leadership development. But there is a huge difference. There is a massive difference between the models of leadership that are espoused through exec ed and the actual being a leader itself. And I was very recently actually in Saudi Arabia working with an ex-colonel of the American Army who was a West Point lecturer in leadership. And, you know, he really summarized it by saying, you know, when he was on active service in Afghanistan and under fire, that there was very little about leadership models that actually impacted his actions on protecting and saving the men under his command. So that there is a being quality to leadership, where it is seen as the crucible or the answer to all of organizations' problems. And that's not necessarily the case.
Fascinating. So I like that analogy, because really there's nothing more immediate and direct when we talk about the military, because it literally is, you're in the trenches of war in a sense.
Absolutely.
In this case, it's
Yeah.
But does that mean, though, you're a leader? You didn't develop that?
Well, I think that it's a combination and a constellation of my life's experiences. You know, one of the things that became so interesting when we wrote the book, Provoke, The Art of Transformative Facilitation, you know, there was a question that we asked right at the very beginning when we were interviewing a whole range of C-suite leaders, both from Southeast Asia and the US and Canada and in continental Europe and the UK. And one of the questions that we asked was, you know, just give us one of the greatest contributions to your development as a leader. And not one person, not one of these people cited either a leadership development program that they'd been on or an MBA degree that they'd taken. What they cited was a constellation of experiences that were both professional and personal that had become, that had weaved together in a way to create meaning and purpose that they replicated over and over again and had very little to do with the subject of leadership.
So let's talk about someone like a Mark Zuckerberg or an Evan Spiegel, who are quite young men. Mark Zuckerberg is in his 30s. And I hear what you're saying, because you have to have some level of experience and time passed to actually have these experiences, right? But if you look at someone like Mark Zuckerberg, he started in college at Harvard, dropped out, as did Bill Gates, as did Elon Musk. Many of these people that are some of the most well-known leaders in the world, according to what you're saying, it takes time, right? So I'm curious, how do you put your understanding of leadership and these individuals that are very young who might not have had a lot of time to...
Well, I think that, you know, when you talk about that kind of individual, you then I have to go to one of your great financiers who I've worked with in New York, Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan.
He's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you know, even going back to the days of the great Steve Jobs, in his last interview with Bill Gates, that you can find on YouTube, he says something really interesting. And I think that this answers your question, Christopher, is that people like Mark Zuckerberg and any of the young, really successful entrepreneurs in terms of size of organization hire great people.
Yeah.
They hire great people and they, if you want, for want of a better word, they sell a vision and an idea that captures the imagination of people enough for them to go on the journey with them. And, you know, if I go back to Jamie Dimon, I remember him saying to me, you know, that my role is as head of JP Morgan is to sit at the center of a wheel. I hire great people. And my job is to make them do, think, feel, say things that they could never have dreamed of. But I don't know what it is that they do in terms of their technical skill. I just create the conditions that accelerate them. And so it's, when you think of someone like Mark Zuckerberg and you think of the people that are employed in Facebook or those in Google or any of those organizations, they're incredibly talented people that are given the conditions to succeed. So I think, you know, what it comes down to is that there's a difference between leadership and leadership skills and the ability to allow people the freedom to express their technical and human expertise through a skill set that drives an organization. That for me is great leadership.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Keith. And I really like how you mentioned about Jamie Dimon. I actually got to meet Jamie at Davos back in January. And for those people out there, unfortunately, sometimes people look at billionaires or capitalists or even bankers, frankly, as like, oh, they're so bad. But I really admire Jamie Dimon for many reasons. The fact that he's a New Yorker, but he's one of the few CEOs at that scale and that level who are super honest, super blunt, but he's so sharp that he can articulate his thoughts in a very genuine way. For instance, there was like this women's conference in Davos. Someone asked him point blank, well, what is your issue on this Me Too or just how do you bring women? And he literally said, well, we have various executives that are women. I have various daughters. My own financial advisor is a woman. But he was just super direct and blunt where you don't hear that as much. You just hear much more of a polished, calculated response where in Jamie's case, going back to you, he's actually a perfect example where he's paid his dues. He used to work with Sandy Weill and he built up banks, I think at Bank One. And so I love that person you mentioned. And I hope our listeners learn from you, both Keith and Jamie Dimon, because he's great example. And I love that you mentioned him, because he's literally one of the most inspiring leaders. And I can arguably say he's the most inspiring banker, except for JP Morgan himself, that really provides a model of a capitalist with a conscience who's direct, wants to help people, but he's a capitalist and there's nothing wrong with that. So,
I think it's absolutely right, Christopher. And you know, one of the things about Jamie, just as an example, is that he's got nothing to prove. And you look at people like Bill Gates, who, you know, is an icon for me in terms of his way of infusing humanity with the things that he's created. You know, I mean, it's mind blowing. And they're the ones that have made it onto the world stage.
Yeah, but Keith, I really appreciate you sharing that perspective about there's a difference between a leader and leadership skills, and giving those examples to really allow our listeners to be clear on what you're conveying. So how can our guests learn more about you, learn from you, and connect with you, Keith?
Well, they can certainly learn about myself and the business that myself and Tessa runs, Alchemy Worldwide. We've got the website, you know, www.alchemyww.com. But I think the best way of actually understanding what we do is through our writing. And that was the reason for writing Provoke, the Art of Transformative Facilitation. And, you know, the title itself is quite provocative. And I didn't set out to write a provocative book. I wrote a book that was directly out of my experience of working in over 43 countries around the world with great leaders. And the findings that came out of that book challenged the orthodoxy of executive learning.
Well, Keith, thank you for challenging us today. I appreciate you. Have a great day.
And thank you very much indeed, Christopher.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.